From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. More U.S. citizens are expected to travel abroad this summer than before the pandemic. In fact, more people are set to travel overseas in 2024 than any other time in history. So, if you're one of the lucky ones looking to take a trip, do you actually know what to do in case of a medical emergency, or even if you take medications and what you need to know? So here today to talk to us more about this and what you need to know before heading out of town is Dr. David Pate, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System. And remember, if you have a public health question, send us an email at idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Hi, Dr. Pate.
Hi, Gemma.
Okay, well, Dr. Pate, I am very curious about all of this because my family and I recently were in Europe for 3 weeks, and we ran into some bumps in the road to say the least. But before we get into that, I mean, Dr. Pate, I have to say, I don't think I have ever really thought really deeply about what you need to know before you travel abroad. So can we start with just some basics? I mean, I guess things like, right, CDC travel advisories.
Well, exactly, Gemma. And you're not alone. Most people are very excited about their travel. They're thinking about all the good things. But unfortunately, given my occupation and the number of people that I help, unfortunately, it's not rare for me to get calls from people when they're out of the country and either minor or often major unexpected things happen, and people find themselves at quite a loss. So you do want to be prepared. Hopefully everything goes wonderful, but you'll have an even better vacation knowing you're prepared. So you're right. Mm-hmm. The first thing I would do, look to the CDC travel advisories or the travel alerts. And you can look it up on the CDC website by country. Look at each country that you're going to, because there may be health hazards there that you're not aware of. And this will give you information about maybe you need to get a vaccination before you go. Maybe you need to have concern about, depending on who you're traveling with. So for example, there are some countries having outbreaks of vaccine preventable illnesses. So if you have an infant you'll be traveling with, that could be a major issue and something you need to talk to the pediatrician about, maybe getting some early vaccination or something to protect your child on the travel. But that's a great place to start.
Well, and one thing that I did do before we traveled, Dr. Pate, was medications for my youngest. So as we've talked about, he has ADHD. He takes medication for that. I had to get a note from our pediatrician because the medication he takes is illegal in Europe. And you could go to jail if you were carrying this medication, even if it's in the prescribed bottle.
Exactly. So you do have to, most people don't understand. They figure if something's legal in the United States, it's going to be legal in all other countries. That is not true. And so you need to be very careful about what countries you're going to and with what. Some of the Asian countries are the most strict about some things that we don't even think twice about that are over the counter here, that are criminal offenses if you are found with it in those countries. So what I suggest is start with the Department of State's website and look to the country you're planning to go and see if there are warnings about medications that you should be concerned about taking, even over-the-counter ones. And then the other thing is I go to that country's embassy, the U.S. embassy in that country, and look to see if they have any warnings for travelers going there about medications. In most instances, you need to have your medication in the prescription bottle with it clearly, with the markings about it being prescribed and so forth. You don't want to take pills in a pill box where they're kind of all separated out but not labeled. That could get seized. And you need to be careful about these other medications as well. The other thing I would say about medications is two things. One, make sure that you're not taking large amounts. So for example, many countries will let you take up to say 3 months of common medicines, maybe mm-hmm. only 1 month for controlled substances. So you got to check and see about that and make sure you're not taking too much medication with you. The other thing is that you want to make a list of your medications and don't use the brand names. Brands vary from country to country. Use the generic name and make a medication list. And then what I do is I make that document and then I use the apps to translate it to the language of that country, just in case we have to seek help. And if somebody doesn't speak English, then I have it in the primary language of that country.
Mm-hmm. So, Dr. Pate, I will say too, and you were truly a godsend to my family when we were traveling. So very briefly, we had a medical emergency. My oldest son got very sick. We thought it was food poisoning about 2 days in. I can't remember if I called you in the middle of the night. All I know is I was in Madrid, you were in Boise, and I was like, Dr. Pate, can I call you? And we spent the next couple of days navigating his medical situation. And one of the things that helped was the first doctor that we saw, and we switched countries during all of this, you know, due to accommodations and everything. We were in Italy, and the first doctor we saw, she wrote down in Italian kind of a medical summary of what was going on with our son. So I had that. How important is that, though? And I'm not talking, I mean, this was a medical emergency, but what about something like, if you have any type of medical conditions, should you write like a some type of medical summary about your condition or maybe a loved one's condition and have it in those languages that you're traveling in?
That's what I do. And what I do is I just make, so for example, especially if you have anyone that you're traveling with that has a complicated medical history or is taking a lot of medicines or is that you could say, you know, it wouldn't be shocking if this person had a problem because they frequently have it here. So any of those cases, I would just make a brief summary. What are that person's major medical problems? What are the medicines they're taking for those problems? And again, with the generic name of the drug and also how often you take it. Anything that would be really important, allergies to medications, those kind of things. And then what I do is I make the document in English and then I use the Translate app on my document that would allow it to translate it to the dominant language. In your case, you might have needed to translate it to Spanish for one country you were in and to Italian for another country. And I would just do an English version, the Spanish version, the Italian version, and then print those out, have those with you. And that can be very helpful if you're in a situation where you have to get medical care, the doctor may not be fluent in English. And plus, you just have to understand, even if they speak some English, you want to minimize the chance for miscommunication, for them to misunderstand what you're saying.
So what about something like medical evacuation insurance? And this was something that I have never, ever thought about. But I have to say, Dr. Pate, when we were dealing with what we were dealing with, I mean, we're heading to the airport and my son is like, I think I have appendicitis. I think we need to go to the hospital. And I'm looking at my husband thinking, we don't have anywhere else to stay in Spain. We have accommodations in Italy. We have to get on a plane. Like, can he travel? I mean, or do we have to scrape everything and do we have to stay here? And you know, you and literally all of this is going on as I'm, you know, an hour and a half away from needing to board a flight.
Yes. And I felt so badly for you. I know how distressing this is. You're in a foreign country. Your child is sick. It's just a horrible, horrible situation. But frankly, I all too often, the most common call that I get from people overseas is something's happened to their spouse that was unexpected. They've ended up in the hospital. They're in serious condition. And then what happens is, first of all, you have health insurance, hopefully. But the problem is most other hospitals in other countries don't accept your insurance the way they do here in the United States. So what they're going to expect in most cases is that you're paying them in cash and on a recurrent basis while your loved one's in the hospital. And that may be very challenging for you. Your insurance may reimburse you here in the United States when you're back, but this problem is you're getting charged because they're not just taking your insurance there. So that's the health insurance. Then people may be familiar with travel insurance, which you might get for a trip because you've spent a lot of money, but what if something happens, you can't take the trip? Then that's travel insurance to reimburse you those costs. But then what you're asking about and what is really important is medical evacuation insurance. Mm-hmm. What I deal with is that these people are in a hospital in another country. It may not be one of the leading hospitals, and they're terribly sick, and they want to get their loved one moved. That's really, really expensive. I buy an annual plan because I have a family member who certainly has health problems, and it could be an issue. And of course, I'm no spring chicken, so I have a policy. It's not very expensive. It's about $300 a month, but $300 a year, but compared to what you would deal with, it's bad. Now, when you pick a medical evacuation insurance, most people don't know. You need to compare. You need to ask some questions. Most of them will say they will just transport you to the next nearest hospital that can take care of your loved one. So in your case, maybe you're in Spain, maybe you get moved to France, but they're not going to bring you to the United States. So you want to get a policy that will actually return you home where your doctors are, where your family is. But you have to look for that because most of them are only going to take you to a nearby hospital. The second thing you need to know is, okay, if something happened to my wife, would I just let her fly by herself? No. So you have to ask, can I get coverage so that I can fly with her? She would be terrified if she was on the plane by herself. And obviously that'd be the first goal to get her home, but I would want to go with her. Not all insurance will guarantee that you can ride. And then a third thing that, and also, even if you can get a policy that will take you to the United States, they may just take you like to Florida or Texas or California, depending where you are. I actually got a policy that would bring us back to Boise. And so you want to be careful about that. And then the other thing is things you won't think about, but a lot of these flights will not guarantee they'll take your luggage with you.
Oh my goodness.
You want to make sure that, they're going to take your spouse with you and they're going to take your luggage with you. And you can get those policies, but you have to look. But having a medical evacuation policy can save you hundreds of thousands of dollars. God forbid something unexpected like has happened to quite a number of people that have called me in the past.
Well, and Dr. Bain, I think it's something that you just, it's never on your radar, right? As you said, you're planning this travel, especially when everyone's healthy. But here are some things that I have learned, and I would love to know your thoughts on these. And this is like basic information. I will never, ever leave the country again without knowing where the closest hospital is to where I am staying, where the closest equivalency of an urgent care is where I'm staying, and how I get medications. Do I need to get, you know, blood work done? How does their system work compared to ours? These are things that I have never thought about, but after what we went through, these are things that I will always know, and I may never need it again, but I don't ever want to be in a situation like we were in, last month.
Well, you're right, Gemma. And let me tell you, every one of the people that has called me over the years, none of them imagined what happened would happen. And so that's just the thing. you prepare. And then, of course, usually if you prepare, it never happens. but if, God forbid, something does happen, you are prepared. And so you're exactly right. What I recommend is you figure out where you're going. Okay, what is the best hospital around there if, God forbid, there's a problem? Now, that can be, it's harder to get quality information on foreign hospitals than it is U.S. hospitals. I can get a lot of information about U.S. hospitals. Very difficult to get those. One trick you can do is that there's an accrediting organization called Joint Commission, and they accredit American hospitals. They also have a branch called Joint Commission International that accredits foreign hospitals. That's not a guarantee you'll get high quality care, but it is a much greater chance because they have to meet a number of criteria. So I search the Joint Commission International site. Unfortunately, it needs a lot of work to make it more searchable and consumer user, but I have gone through that and you can too, and you can identify hospitals that way. There are also some rankings of international hospitals that you can use, Newsweek and US News and some others that you can look. But do try to pick out the hospital just in case you need that, and so that you'll know. The other thing is that you want to understand where you could get care. So, for example, I know we're all thinking that COVID is over, but in fact, we're having a surge. A number of other countries are having surges. And if there's a study that just came out, if you take a flight that is of 6 hours or more in duration, which is going to be most of your international flights, your risk of contracting COVID goes up 25-fold. And so,
oh my goodness.
I'm not saying you need to be terrified of it, but what if you do get sick? Where would you go? Where would you get care? And so it's just good to plan those things out. And of course, it may be worth, even if you're not concerned that you will be terribly sick, who wants to ruin their vacation? And maybe you want to take some precautions at the airport, on the plane, while you're traveling, so it doesn't ruin your vacation or get the other people you're traveling with sick.
Can you use virtual care if you are overseas and you want to talk maybe with your doctor or a medical doctor in the United States?
Yes. And thank you for your very kind comments. I was delighted to help you because I really know how terrifying that is. But yes, it may be an option for you. So depending on what your circumstances are. So for example, if you happen to be going on a cruise, you know, they may have a medical center there on the ship. If you're going on a smaller ship, they may not, but they may have a virtual care with doctors through their company there available to you. But what I would do is just check with your own doctor and the own health system that you go to, because a lot of, since COVID, one of the good things that's come out about it is a lot of doctors and health systems have developed much more sophisticated electronic platforms to be able to provide you with virtual care. And so that can be very important. And you want to check with your doctor or local health system to see if they have it. I suspect many, if not most, do. And make sure you understand how you can access that. How do you get onto that service? Because that can be helpful. Now, if your doctor or health system doesn't do it, of course, if you have a family member in healthcare, you can check with them about whether there's somebody that could help you if you did get into trouble, those kind of things. But yeah, check your options because there may be more options than you think. Even your health insurance plan may offer a virtual care. So you can check with your health insurer as well.
Oh. So I will say what happened with our son is we get to Florence, Italy, and we find, and I'm putting in air quotes, an urgent care, because once again, knowing the medical systems there, it's different than in the United States. They're not open even, you know, 8 to 5. We got there, they were closed at 4 in the afternoon, reopening at 6 p.m. And they did, as I'm desperately knocking on their door, let us in a little bit earlier, saw my son, really couldn't do much because we were concerned of appendicitis. And what I learned through you, Dr. Pate, and this other doctor was that really to determine that, you need a blood work done and ultrasound done. But the one thing that this first doctor did was she handed me a prescription for an antibiotic and said, well, go fill this antibiotic and get him started on that and we'll see what happens. And I thought, is she a quack? If he has appendicitis, he needs surgery and you want me to give him an antibiotic. And then I call you and I relay all of this to you and you say, well, an antibiotic might actually work. And I was floored.
Yes, this is really new information in the last few years that we have some studies that for certain cases, I don't want listeners hearing that all cases of appendicitis can be managed this way because they cannot. But basically, because you were so good at giving me very clear information about your son, and because I was able to give you instructions about how to look for the signs that would concern me. And you were able to do a really good job and I could talk to your son as well. And then when we did get the ultrasound information that showed us that your son did not have the risky type of appendicitis, now it became an option for us to consider treating him with antibiotics and until we can get him back to the United States. You know, things like appendicitis, depending on where you are, they may or may not be able to do the laparoscopic type where you just make the few little holes instead of the big scar. And obviously, I didn't want your son to have a major surgery. He'd be in the hospital longer, whereas he could rebound from the laparoscopic procedure much faster and be fine for the trip home if we had to go that way. But fortunately, he had good enough signs. He wasn't having a high fever. He didn't have a markedly abnormal white count. There wasn't evidence that it had already perforated and was leaking, those kind of things. So there were good signs that said, you know, this could be a reasonable step to do. Not that some people still don't end up requiring the surgery, but we really just wanted to get your son home if we could and buy the time. And fortunately, it worked.
Well, and we were lucky enough that we literally, when I say had a hospital 5 minutes walking away from where we were staying, we did. And we went there and we got that blood work done and we got, you know, the ultrasound done. And I remember, Dr. Pate, you telling me what his blood work needed to be. And you said, if his blood work, if his white blood cell count is, you know, is I think you said like 14,000, he needs surgery no matter what. And we were lucky enough that we weren't there. It was at 12,000. But here's another step in the process that we learned is that we got him on that antibiotic. We needed to get his blood work done again within 48 hours to see if that white blood cell count was going down. And I didn't want to keep him in the hospital for 2 days so that they could do his blood work. I wanted him back where we were. So they said, yes, there are labs you can go to get the blood work done. Great, we'll do that. What they failed to tell me was that these labs in Italy close on the weekends, all weekend long. And of course, this happened on a Thursday. We needed to get the blood work done on Saturday. Couldn't get it done until Monday. But thankfully, he was progressing so that we felt confident enough to wait until Monday to get that blood work done. But then the blood work took 24 hours, not, you know, a quick turnaround in the United States. So again, it's needing to understand how the medical services work in other countries. And I am not saying that their medical services are poor. They were not. They helped us. It's just that it is not the same as the United States.
Well, that's right. And of course, we have many things legitimately to complain about the American healthcare system. And I spent much of my career trying to improve the American healthcare system, but I still get aggravated with it. But then you have these experiences where you experience national healthcare systems and you realize there are a lot of advantages to the for all its problems, there are a lot of advantages to the American medical system. In your case, fortunately, you were so close where your hotel was to the hospital. And of course, it being your son who's otherwise very good health, I knew we weren't going to be dealing with a situation where something would happen and we wouldn't have time to get to the hospital to help your son. And of course, they're going to want to keep him. That's the conservative thing to do just to make sure, but it's also very expensive. And based on the fact that you were so good at getting me some of the critical information I needed, I was able to talk to your son and get a pretty good feel for how he was feeling. You were able to do parts of the examination that I couldn't do because I wasn't there, and you could tell me about it. I felt comfortable enough. Hey, it's okay for you to leave the hospital, stay at the hotel, take it easy, do these things, don't do these things, and then we'll see how he does. And fortunately, he did very well. But these are the things that people are going to be very vulnerable about when you're away from home. Even if you travel other parts of the United States, you should still, especially if you have a family member with a lot of illnesses, you need to plan these things out depending on where you're going in the United States, because you might be going someplace where there's not a lot of healthcare options and you still need to know how to access care. But Gemma, you certainly did amazing. Your son did amazing. And I was glad we were able to manage this to get you home without somebody having to operate on your son or having worse problems, like mid-flight or something like that. Mm-hmm. But you're giving a good message to people. Chances are nothing's going to happen, but you don't know. And you can be surprised. And everyone I've talked to has been surprised. So do this planning. Think about these things ahead of time. It really doesn't take that long to plan. I've done this in about an hour and put mm-hmm. everything through together that I need to. And you can do that too.
And bottom line, I just want to reiterate something you said about our situation with appendicitis, is that we were in a situation where antibiotics did work. But Dr. Pate, I don't want people to think that that's always, standard of care. We literally had you walking us through this, and we were at a phase where we could try this before having to potentially do surgery.
Yeah, that's an important point. And because a lot of people that have appendicitis, there's not going to be an option. You're going to have surgery. It's the only wise thing to do. But we do realize now there are certain cases, which luckily your son was within this category, where we can buy time. It's not 100% sure, but it can be enough to get a healthy person through this till we can more thoroughly evaluate them and potentially save them from the surgery. But that's not going to be the majority of cases. We kind of lucked out, but it is good that we know that there are some cases we can treat that way.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't ever want to go back to Italy. I think he was fine with Spain and France.
Oh, he'll change his mind in a decade. He's young.
He's young. I told him he'll have stories to tell for the rest of his life. But as always, Dr. Pate, I thank you so much for all of the medical advice and the public health advice that you give us. But truly, I feel like we, honest to God, dodged a bullet, and we could not have done it without you and your guidance and your support and all of your expertise. So thank you for picking up my frantic phone calls in the middle of the night.
Well, so, you're most welcome. It was my honor. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Here at Shortwave Space Camp, we escape our everyday lives to explore the mysteries and quirks of the universe. We find weird, fun, interesting stories that explain how the cosmos is partying all around us. From stars to dwarf planets to black holes and beyond, we've got you. Listen now to the Shortwave Podcast from NPR.